Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, April 11th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Ukraine expects Russia to widen its offensive this week.
Emmanuel Macron is set to face his nationalist rival Marine Le Pen in the final round of the French election.
A surge in Treasury yields sends ripples across global markets.
And Twitter shares slide after Elon Musk turns down a spot on the company's board.
New York Mayor Eric Adams tests positive for COVID. Plus, the Biden administration plans to announce new rules today around ghost guns. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. Losses for the Yankees and Mets. Wins for the Knicks and Nets. And Scottie Scheffler won the Masters.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are falling to start the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 25 points this morning. Dow futures down 96. NASDAQ futures down 144. 10-year Treasury down 13 30 seconds, yield 2.75%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.57%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.4% at $95.88 a barrel. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but first, the latest on the war in Ukraine. Austria's chancellor says he will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow today as the fighting intensifies in Ukraine's east. Ukraine says Russian missiles destroyed the airport in their fourth largest city, Dnipro. President Volodymyr Zelensky says he expects Russia to turn to even more large-scale action this week. In an interview on CBS's 60 Minutes, correspondent Scott Pelley asked Zelensky what Ukraine needs from the U.S. and NATO.
Zbroya номер один.
Weapons, number one. They need to be very serious about it. They definitely understand what I'm talking about right now. They have to supply weapons to Ukraine as if they were defending themselves and their own people.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky spoke on CBS's 60 Minutes, which can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington.
Meanwhile, Nathan, cries are growing louder around the world for Russia to face a war crimes tribunal. We get the story from Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
NSA Director Jake Sullivan says it's gone beyond the pale.
I think we can all say that these are mass atrocities. These are war crimes. These are shocking and brutal acts that are completely unacceptable, beyond the pale for the international community.
Sullivan on ABC is heard here on Bloomberg says they lead directly to Vladimir Putin.
Make no mistake, the larger issue of broad-scale war crimes and atrocities in Ukraine lies at the feet of the Kremlin.
This as Ukraine expects a major Russian invasion of the East. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Ed, thank you. Turning to politics, a runoff election is coming in the presidential race in France. President Emmanuel Macron will square off with nationalist Marine Le Pen after a tight first-round vote. We get more from Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix in Paris.
It's a rerun of their 2017 contest. According to first projections, Macron got around 28% of the vote, compared with about 24% for Le Pen in the first round. But a Macron win is far from certain, as votes from trailing candidates, such as Jean-Luc Mélenchon, may go to Le Pen. While the president's perceived arrogance turned off many voters and helped Le Pen to frame him as a president for the rich, he's made France a favored destination for foreign investors and pushed employment to the highest on record. In Paris, I'm Francine Lacroix, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Francine, thank you. Well, another major story we are following involves the U.S. economy. The relentless rise of Treasury yields continues to send waves through global markets. 10-year yields climbed through 2.75% for the first time in more than 3 years as investors price in the impact of the Federal Reserve's tightening plan and accelerating inflation. Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester is confident the U.S. will avoid a recession.
I think that it will take some time to get inflation down because, as you know, there's other things going on in the economy that are adding to price pressures, including the commodity price increases and energy price increases that are happening as well. So I think inflation will remain above 2% this year and even next year, but the trajectory will be that it will be moving down.
Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester made the comments on CBS's Face the Nation, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
And a major story is developing on the equity front, Karen. It has shares of Twitter sliding 5%. Elon Musk has decided he He's not joining the board of the social media company after all. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Quite a turnaround, Renita.
Quite a turnaround, Nathan. It was just a week ago that Twitter soared more than 27% after Elon Musk took his 9.2% stake in the company. Twitter said shortly after that Musk would join the board, and the billionaire has been vocal about his changes that he'd like to see at Twitter in the name of free speech. But Musk's abrupt reversal in his decision to join the board ignites renewed speculation about his intentions for Twitter as its largest individual shareholder. And if he does not join the board, Musk would not be subject to an agreement to keep his stake at no more than 14.9%. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, earnings will also be in focus this week with big banks kicking off reporting season for the first quarter. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Investors will learn how Wall Street fared last quarter amid heightened volatility stemming from the Russia-Ukraine conflict and a focus on the Federal Reserve's tightening path. Tony Dwyer is equity strategist at Canaccord Genuity.
It's going to be a positive earnings season. The commentary is going to be sketchy. It's going to create this volatility.
JP Morgan Chase will be first out of the gate with earnings on Wednesday. Thursday gets very busy with reports from Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and PNC. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Turning to the pandemic now, COVID is back on the rise, driven by the BA2 Omicron subvariant. Infections are at their highest levels in about a month. White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci says Americans will need to make their own risk assessments going forward.
There will be a level of infection. This is not going to be eradicated, and it's not going to be eliminated. And what's going to happen is that we're going to see that each individual is going to have to make their calculation of the amount of risk that they want to take.
Anthony Fauci made the comments on ABC's This Week, which can be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. On this Monday morning, futures are pointing to a lower open, with S&P futures now down 25 points, NASDAQ futures down 146, Dow futures lower by 94 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 13/32 with a yield close to 2.75%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 41 degrees in Central Park. Starting off this morning with a sinkhole to get past in Franklin Township. We'll get you around that in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has tested positive for COVID-19. A spokesperson for the mayor says that Adams woke up with a raspy voice yesterday. Adams took a PCR test that came back positive. Mayor Adams was one of dozens of high-profile politicians that tested positive after attending an elite gala in Washington, D.C. Organizers of the Gridiron Dinner say that more than 70 cases could have been linked to that event. Dr. Eric Asher with the Lenox Hill Hospital says the mayor's infection is a reminder that the virus does not discriminate.
Anybody is eligible to get COVID, and we just hope that the more folks that are vaccinated and boosted will have milder cases.
Dr. Eric Asher. Mayor Adams has no other symptoms but has canceled all public events for the week and will be taking antiviral medications. The virus is also affecting Broadway again, with some shows having to cancel performances due to positive cases. The Marquee Stars, a Plaza Suite, tested positive for COVID, making it the third production to temporarily shut down because of new infections. People in Times Square had a scary moment last evening and started fleeing after a series of explosions. This first responder on Broadcastify.
Get everybody back off the street.
Officials say it turns out a cable failure caused one manhole to erupt and a second manhole was smoking. No one was hurt and there was no property damage. Today, the Biden administration will announce changing for the first time since the Gun Control Act of 1968 the definition of firearm. It comes as Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Biden administration must immediately rein in ghost gun sales. The New York senator says ghost gun kits must be treated as firearms.
The preference would be for Congress to pass a law, but we've tried and it's been blocked by our Republican colleagues. So we're now asking the administration to do this on its own through regulation. Someone will challenge it in court, but I think the law will stand.
Schumer says sales of ghost guns are rising around the country. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshower.
Good morning, Nathan. Scottie Scheffler began the year having never won a PGA tournament, but what a year he is having.
For a three-shot win. Scheffler behind it. Puts it.
And it's in. And Scottie Scheffler taps one of the great starts to a year in golf history with his first major championship. The number one player in the world has won four times in 3 months, and he's won the 2022 Masters Tournament.
Masters Radio, heard here on Bloomberg Radio. Rory McIlroy started the day 10 shots behind. He ended up second with a 64. That tied the record for a Masters final round. McIlroy finished his round by holing out of the bunker for a birdie, and then his playing partner, Colin Morikawa, did the same thing. Yankees and Mets going for season-opening sweeps. Both lost. Yanks left 11 on base with Bobby Dalbec homered in the sixth inning. The Red Sox won 4-3. Anthony Rizzo and Giancarlo Stanton drove in the Yankee runs. Together, they've driven in 10 of the Yanks' 13 runs. Mets had a 2-1 lead. Eighth inning, Washington scored three times, won 4-2. Nelson Cruz, a first-inning homer, and later a two-run single. Knicks closed out the season, beating Toronto at the Garden, 105-94. An eye-opening weekend for the Knicks' Obi Toppin. Always a fan favorite. Toppin scored 35 points on Friday. He had 42 points last night. Manuel quickly added 34. Knicks finished the year 37-45. Nets got 35 from Kyrie Irving, but Indiana 134-126. They went 44-38. They'll host Cleveland tomorrow. If the Nets win, they advance to play Boston in the first round of the playoffs. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures lower by 25 points right now. Dow futures down 94. NASDAQ futures leading the declines down 144 points. That's a drop of 1%. 10-year Treasury yield 2.74%. Insights on the markets next with former Gartman Letter publisher Dennis Gartman. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News & World Report and top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. More at njit.edu.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and bonds falling as political and economic risks weigh on sentiment. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 24 points. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 148. The DAX in Germany is down 0.75%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 2.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.56%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.5% on $2.48 at $95.77 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.9% or $16.90 at $19.62.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0908 against the dollar. British pound 1.3026. The yen at 125.39. And Bitcoin this morning down 2.5% at $42,030. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Austria's chancellor said he'll meet Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow today. Meanwhile, Ukraine expects Russia to widen its offensive in the east this week as the war continues. U.S. attorney in the Obama administration is being nominated by President Joe Biden to run the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. That's according to several people familiar with the matter who spoke to the Associated Press. Today's announcement of the nomination of Steve Dettelbach is expected as the Biden administration unveils its formal rule to rein in ghost guns. In golf, Scottie Scheffler has won the Masters. On the final day of the regular NBA season, the Nets, Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors won. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Bruins 4-2. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Stories. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak as we get set for a short but busy trading week. We're joined by Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. Dennis, good morning. Seems like we're seeing some jitters in the market with futures pointing lower and the 10-year, the benchmark, flirting with the 2.75% handle. That's the highest in more than 3 years. What kind of ripple effect does that have on the market?
Well, first of all, we have the markets are under pressure and are going to remain under pressure. I've been bearish of stocks since January 5th. When the previous minutes of the FOMC meeting at the end of last year came out indicating higher rates were certainly a likelihood, the fact that the minutes last week were as bearish as any I've seen, Mr. Bill Dudley, the former vice chairman of the Fed and former New York Fed president, was overtly bearish of share prices, saying that the Fed has to become far more hawkish on monetary policy and needs to, in his term, inflict pain on stock prices, which was a stunning statement. He's even more bearish than Ms. George and Ms. Mester, the presidents of the Cleveland and Kansas City Feds, even more bearish than Mr. Bullard has been. So it's really quite extraordinary to have that many voting members of the FOMC become overtly bearish of share prices. So I think that the bounce that we've seen has run its course. It was a nice bounce. It was a pleasant bounce. It was a satisfactory bounce for many, but it was a bounce nonetheless, and that's all it has been. And I think share prices are headed rather demonstrably lower over the course of the next several months.
What kind of levels are you looking at for the S&P 500 then?
The best I can say, I've been in this business for almost 45 years, and trying to get the direction right is the best that one can do, and I think the direction is down. So let's just simply say we'll go past the normal threshold for the start of a bear market, which is 20%. I've always found that laughable. To me, anything that moves more than 7% is consequent. So the fact that I think we'll be below 20% down before this is done from the highs made January 5th. So the market, I think, is the best that one can say is the market's moving from the upper left to the lower right, and that's the best that one is able to ascertain.
You mentioned Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester. We did hear from her again yesterday on CBS's Face the Nation, saying that she thinks that inflation could peak soon but will remain elevated perhaps into the end of next year. At the same time, she says she's confident that the U.S. can avoid a recession. What's your view?
I think the U.S. – well, first of all, I think she's correct on inflation. There's no question that inflationary problems are extant everywhere. Food prices are going higher. Energy prices had been higher. They're coming off a bit at this point with the crude oil tumbling down below $96 a barrel for near-term WTI. But livestock prices are higher. Cotton prices are higher. Sugar prices are higher. Commodity prices generally are higher, and they're not going to weaken anytime soon. I think wage rates are headed higher. They're going to go from the lower left to the upper right, so she's right about inflation. I think she's wrong about a recession. I think the fact that we've had the yield curve inverting in the middle of the curve, and the inversion, I think, is going to become more pronounced over the course of the next several months, which is always indicative of a recession. So I think Ms. Mester probably is wrong about the recessionary call, but she's right about the inflationary call.
When do you think we get a recession? Do you think it happens this year?
I think it happens this year. We won't mark it. The National Bureau of Economic Research, the NBER, is the official data of when we go into recession and when we come out, and they're always late on both sides. I think they won't say that we've been in recession until sometime early in 2023, but they'll mark it as the end of 2022. So I think sometime in the third quarter, the numbers will start to be manifestly bearish and manifestly recessionary. But will we mark it as a recession until probably sometime in 2023? The NBER will be very slow to do so.
I'm curious whether you think we'll see any inflationary impact on the earnings as we start to get into the really the kickoff of earnings season this week. We've only got about a minute left.
Well, that's a good question, and I wish I were capable of answering that. I'll leave it to wiser heads than I am when it comes to announcing and making forecasts as to earnings for individual companies. All I can say is the economy seems to be slowing down or shall be slowing down in the not-too-distant future. And the recession is on the horizon. So that should be deleterious to earnings 6 months into the future. But for the next 2 or 3 months, the earnings numbers will probably be quite good.
All right, Dennis, as always, good to have you on with us. Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now the chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee. As we look ahead to the market open, it is pointing to losses on this Monday morning. S&P futures are down 22 points right now. Dow futures down 80. NASDAQ futures down 136. And the 10-year Treasury is down 10 32nds now with a yield of 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.55. NYMEX crude down 2.6% right now, down $253, $95.73 a barrel. Just ahead, Ukraine braces for a tougher fight to the east, and Elon Musk's on again, off again with Twitter. So check your top stories of the morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine today with a high near 60. Morning showers tomorrow will clear out during the afternoon tomorrow with a high in the low 70s, upper 60s, partly sunny by Wednesday. Right now, 41 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Ukraine says Russian airstrikes destroy the airport in Ukraine's fourth largest city, Dnipro, as the war continues. A new Russian military commander is drawing alarm among U.S. officials. As European officials met to discuss the next phase of the war, Austrian's chancellor is heading to Moscow today to meet with Vladimir Putin 2 days after visiting Kyiv.
Well, meantime, Karen, Russia is expected to mount an offensive for control of parts of eastern Ukraine. President Volodymyr Zelensky tells CBS's Scott Pelley he has no plans to leave his nation.
I'm the president of our people. And even if I wasn't president, I would have stayed here. My family understood, not only understood, but fully supported my decision. Fully.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky spoke on CBS's 60 Minutes, which can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington.
Well, Nathan, to the markets now, where shares of Twitter are sliding. They're down more than 4% as Elon Musk is not joining the board of the social media company. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. It was just a week ago that Twitter soared more than 27% after Elon Musk took his 9.2% stake in the company. Twitter said shortly after that Musk would join the board, and the billionaire has been vocal about changes he'd like to see at Twitter in the name of free speech. But Musk's abrupt reversal in his direct decision to join the board ignites renewed speculation about his intentions for Twitter as its largest shareholder individually. And if he does not join the board, Musk would not be subject to an agreement to keep his stake at no more than 14.9%. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. And most stocks are falling in early trading as a rise in U.S. Treasury yield sends waves through global markets. 10 years climbed through 2.75% for the first time since March of 2019.
Nathan, overseas to the presidential election in France. French President Emmanuel Macron holds a slight lead over nationalist rival Marine Le Pen. Pollsters project Macron securing 28% of the vote compared to 24% for Le Pen. The second round of voting will take place in a couple of weeks.
From Paris to Shanghai, where despite lockdowns, new COVID cases reached an all-time high yesterday. Shanghai reported more than 26,000 new infections, most of which were among people already under isolation.
And futures are lower. S&P futures down 21 points. Dow futures down 72. NASDAQ futures down 134. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 533 on Wall Street, 41 degrees in Central Park. We got an accident on the New England Thruway northbound at exit 17 in Westchester County. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City Mayor Eric Adams announced he has tested positive for COVID and is now isolating. Dr. Bruce Lee with the City University of New York School of Public Health.
You essentially have this more contagious BA.2 subvariant that's circulating, and we're still amidst cooler and drier weather. So that can promote transmission. So we really need to be more proactive about COVID-19 precautions.
Dr. Lee, as New York City is now averaging about 1,800 new cases per day, last Saturday, Mayor Adams attended the annual Gridiron Dinner in Washington. Dozens who attended have since contracted COVID. China's largest COVID outbreak in 2 years continues to spread despite an extended lockdown of Shanghai's 25 million people. There were more than 26,000 new daily infections reported in the Chinese financial hub, an all-time high. The Biden administration plans to announce new rules today around ghost guns. Sergeant Christian Camarillo is with the San Jose, California Police Department.
A ghost gun or privately made firearm is a firearm that can be made at home with pre-manufactured parts. You can order these on the internet. It takes some very simple machining, and you put it together, and it works just like a regular firearm.
Sergeant Christian Camarillo. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says sales of ghost guns are rising around the country.
Clarify under federal law that ghost gun kits are firearms that would require a background check and a serial number.
Senator Schumer referenced a teen shooting death Friday outside a Bronx high school. Police say the 17-year-old suspect may have used a ghost gun. There's word President Joe Biden is nominating an Obama-era U.S. attorney to run the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. According to the Associated Press, Biden is expected to make the announcement today, nominating Steve Dettelbach. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. Big things were expected from Scottie Scheffler. He grew up in Dallas, dominated junior golf, now 25. Scheffler went to the Masters having won three of his last five tournaments. He had already become ranked number one. At Augusta, he took the lead on Friday, never gave it up. His lead early yesterday did shrink to one shot, but then he chipped in for birdie on the third hole, and that lead was never again less than three shots.
It was definitely nice to build up a lead, and nothing safe out there on the back nine on this golf course. You know, I've heard all the things that everybody says. It doesn't start till the back nine on Sunday. Anything can happen. Don't hit it in the water on 12. You know, all the stuff. And you know, I just blocked most of that out and just tried to execute and hit good golf shots.
Scheffler had a double bogey on 18, but he still won by three over hard-charging Rory McIlroy, who has still never won the Masters, but he had a brilliant final round 64. Tiger Woods had his second straight 78. He said he's unsure if he'll play the PGA Championship or the U.S. Open, but he does plan to play the British Open because of his affinity for playing at St. Andrews. Yankees going for a sweep of the Red Sox. Stranded 11 runners, lost at the stadium 4-3. Mets going for a four-game sweep in Washington, had a 2-1 lead when the Nats scored three times in the eighth inning. They won 4-2. Knicks finished the year 37-45. They beat Toronto at the Garden. Knicks fans have called for more playing time for Obi Toppin. Got it this weekend, and he had games of 35 and 42 points. Nets beat Indiana. Nets have a play-in game in Brooklyn tomorrow with Cleveland. The winner then advances to play Boston. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York's theater industry has been betting on a big spring, nearly doubling the number of shows being offered. But the Times reports a number of COVID cases in New York City, coinciding with the arrival of a new subvariant, has once again rocked Broadway, infecting some of its biggest stars, forcing four shows to temporarily cancel performances. Healthcare workers in New Jersey's hospitals, nursing homes, and other facilities had until today to be vaccinated and boosted against COVID-19 or face disciplinary action. That includes the possibility of losing their jobs. And despite an initial uproar, NJ Spotlight reports it seems most healthcare workers have complied. Connecticut's tax-free week started on Sunday. It gives residents a break from the 6.35% sales tax on retail items. The tax holiday eliminates sales tax on clothing and footwear under $100. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about JetBlue's plans to trim its summer travel season schedule due to staff shortages.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm talking about some of the locally based companies reporting earnings this week, including United Health.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting developer Bobby George has big plans for Old River Road in the Flats.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. We're coming up to 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
India has disappointed many of its fellow democracies by not taking a stronger stand against Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Some U.S. officials have even let their frustrations spill out in public. Although understandable, such criticisms are unproductive. The U.S. and its allies should instead concentrate on showing India that its interests are better served through partnership with the West, not Vladimir Putin. After all, India's long-standing ties with Russia can't be severed overnight, nor can the U.S. realistically expect India to abandon the strategic autonomy its foreign policy elite has jealously guarded since independence. Instead, the U.S. and its partners must show India that they can address its needs far better than Russia can, through cooperation, trade, and development. In the end, trying to strong-arm India won't work. Persuading its leaders that the West is a smarter long-term bet will. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. And terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. S&P futures now down 20 points. Dow futures down 63. NASDAQ futures are lower by 133 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 12 32nds. The yield 2.74%. Yield on the 2-year 2.57. Straight ahead, the latest on the war in Ukraine as Austria's chancellor prepares to meet with Russian President Putin. Rosalind Matheson of Bloomberg News is with us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunshine today with a high near 60. Tomorrow starts off with showers, but it'll clear by tomorrow afternoon. Highs in the low 70s. We'll be in the upper 60s, partly sunny by Wednesday. Currently 41 in Central Park.